The Writer Files, a member of the Podglomerate Network. Greetings, scribes. I have got some exciting news to share. The Writer Files now has an exclusive Patreon community where subscribers will get exclusive access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and content from productivity and publishing experts each month. In the meantime, just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles. It's free to join Patreon to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something special.
Rainmaker FM.
Hey there, and welcome back to The Writer Files. I am your host, Kelton Reed, here to give you another glimpse into the habits, habitats, and brains of renowned writers. And in part two of this file, the award-winning creator, producer, and host of the mega-hit Lore podcast, TV show, and book series, Aaron Mankey, returned to share how he created his scary storytelling universe, his writing regimen for success, and advice to fellow scribes. In less than 3 years, the writer and former graphic designer grew his humble, true-life scary story podcast, Lore, from a small email list and an effort to market his self-published novels into a critically acclaimed show with more than 100 million downloads. The podcast won Apple Podcasts Best of 2015 and 2016 and also picked up a Best History podcast from the Academy of Podcasters. Lore was also recently turned into an Amazon TV series by producers of The Walking Dead and The X-Files, with Aaron as a co-executive producer. It's been turned into a live tour and a book series with Penguin Random House as well. The world of Lore, Monstrous Creatures, is the first in a three-book series from the author. The books include both old and new tales from the world of Lore, with their signature blend of history and the macabre to plumb the depths of our collective nightmares. Entertainment Weekly noted that Mankey dives deep into the world of folklore and the darker side of history in a quest to root out the fragment of truth at the bottom of our fears. In part two of this file, Aaron and I discuss the writer's process and the advantages of a home office for a podcast producer, how to turn a scary spoken word podcast into a hit TV show, why the author leans on planning and outlining, Aaron's reliance on the cloud to sync all of his script editing and weekly tasks, why professional writers can't wait for inspiration, and more great advice for keeping the ink flowing. The Writer Files is brought to you by the all-new Studio Press Sites, a turnkey solution that combines the ease of an all-in-one website builder with the flexible power of WordPress. It's perfect for authors, bloggers, podcasters, and affiliate marketers, as well as those selling physical products, digital downloads, and membership programs. If you're ready to take your WordPress site to the next level, see for yourself why over 200,000 website owners trust Studio Press. Go to rainmaker.fm/studiopress now. That's rainmaker.fm/studiopress. And if you're a fan of The Writer Files, please click subscribe to automatically see new interviews as soon as they're published. I know you've talked about working in coffee shops in the past. Are you still someone who gets out into the world, or do you prefer now to be in an office kind of with the door closed?
I bounce back and forth. So for a lot of the fall when I was writing, because the fall was pretty crazy for me this last year, and that's another aspect of writing that it's probably a different conversation, but like learning to write faster so you can then buy yourself a week off so you can go on tour and then come back and catch up and all that stuff. And then, of course, I have to record and produce on a regular schedule. But anyway, so I used to go out just to a local Starbucks and write from, you know, the same time from 7 to 10. That's about how long I felt like I've, you know, at 10 o'clock, I felt like I'm overstaying my welcome at this point, and I can, I can either buy more drink or I can leave. And so 7 to 10, you know, these days though, I'm in my home office, and, sometimes it's with music on, sometimes it's in silence. I've learned that being in a home office means that I can read stuff out loud as I'm writing it instead of later in the editing process. Yeah. And I like that because I'm writing for spoken word, and that's different than writing a for print item. You know, I want to avoid alliteration as much as possible. I want phrases to roll off the tongue a bit more smoothly than, you know, a nice eloquent phrase might look on paper. I have to write it to be said, and that's a different style. So being able to read it out loud has been really helpful. Because of that, being in my own office at home has been nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, are you then when you're working on the TV show, are you having to travel, or can you work remotely on that, or?
Well, you know, the good part about the TV show is that, you know, everything's written from the podcast. So, you know, when we sat down and we planned out the episodes, I was able to just say, well, I mean, I've always called them transcripts, but that insinuates that you talk first and it's typed up later. They're more scripts, right? I write a script for the podcast, so I'm able to hand them my scripts. But I'm not a screenwriter, so I don't know how to write a screenplay. So then they have writers who would take my stuff, and they, you know, these episodes need to be different than the podcast. They need to have,
right,
you know, if we're doing Black Stockings, it's got to have the same story, but maybe we bring in some different historical information, or maybe now because we can be visual, we can bring in some new things that help it. And so other people write the screenplays. So for me, there's never been a lot of travel necessary. I visited the set once back in April of last year while they were filming Passing Notes, which was great. Got to meet Robert Patrick, was it T-1000 from Terminator 2?
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Cause he's in that episode and hung out on set all day. And it's a very fun world, but for the most part, you know, the travel happened when the TV show was coming out. So, you know, doing Comic-Con in New York, back in October, we premiered it, at a panel. And then I went on book tour and, did some promotional stuff for the TV show while I was on book tour. So it was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. $1 million question. Do you believe in writer's block? Is it a thing?
No way. Okay. No way. I am. So, I mean, I get that there are plotters and pantsers out there, right? And some people write by the seat of their pants and some people plot it out. I am a planner and an outliner, and I could not do it any other way. Before I ever sit down to write an episode, I already know where I'm going. You know, I have the outline for my research assistants. I've gone over it. I've marked it up. Now, to be clear, I'm not writing fiction, but I have written fiction in the past, and it was the same. When I wrote fiction, the way that I planned a book was that I came up with a paragraph that described the plot, and then I expanded that paragraph until I had, you know, dozens of bullet points, and those became chapters and plot points. And so when I sat down, it was more about what's on my list to write today than about, oh God, I have to come up with something, right? So, you know, lore is essentially a 4,000 word history paper. And like we've said, it's written narratively and for spoken word, but I could never do that off the cuff. That kind of thing requires planning, and I think planning gives you daily focus. And because of that, I don't have writer's block. I'm not afraid of the blank page anymore like I used to be. I just sit down, like, it's my job. I have to write, you know?
Yeah, that's really cool. And just a quick aside to revisit the exclusive Writer Files Patreon community, where subscribers get access to uncut ad-free interviews, a writer's happy hour, bonus breakdowns, and a lot more. I know that for serious writers, it can be more distracting than ever to cut through the noise, stay productive, and home in on what's happening in the publishing industry. Over 8 years, we've provided a looking glass into the habits of professional writers and publishing industry insiders. And as your humble host, I've decided to launch a membership-based Patreon for serious scribes to cut through the noise, swap tips and tricks, and hang out with like-minded peers. Just head over to patreon.com/thewriterfiles for bonus writing resources, monthly episode breakdowns, writer's happy hour, a community of your peers, ad-free episodes, and more. It's free to join to get a preview, and you can upgrade anytime. That's patreon.com/thewriterfiles. Help us start something cool and special. Keep calm and write on. Okay, a couple quick workflow questions. Are you a Mac or a PC?
I am an Apple guy, yeah. And I really enjoy using their word processor app called Pages.
Mm.
It syncs with iCloud. Yeah. So I've got Pages on all my Macs. That sounds fancy. I have a desktop and a laptop because I travel enough. I needed like write and edit on the road. So, and then I've got an iPhone and an iPad, and the iPad is what I use for my scripts in the sound booth. Pages is installed on all of them, and iCloud keeps them in sync. So I can sit down and write in the cafe. I can come home. I can open it up on the desktop and I can do some more writing. And then when I go into the booth, it's right there in Pages, which is also good because I used to record with the PDF as my script. But what happens is, as you're recording it and you're reading the page, you find mistakes, or you find, oh, I need to change that word to this word. So I actually use Pages for my script as well, because then I can just edit on the fly.
Yeah.
And that's changing my master. So that's my preference.
That's great. That's cool. So, do you have a couple organizational hacks aside from, syncing Pages to the cloud that keep you on track with everything?
I use a To-Do app on my phone and my Mac that syncs. It's called Todoist.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of, like, every other Tuesday I have to do this, every other Wednesday I have to do this. And so those things are programmed in as repeating tasks to keep me on my schedule.
Yeah.
With Pages, that's everywhere. I use Evernote for a lot of the research and notes that I take.
Mm-hmm.
Again, syncs across all my devices. I like to be able to work wherever I'm at, which is, that's kind of the point when you're doing creative things, where you just jot something down quickly and then it's there on your desktop when you get back to the office. So, yeah.
Makes
but
sense.
Outside of that, it's pretty simple. Yeah.
Do you run up against procrastination? Are you a writer who leans in, or have you found ways to beat it?
I don't procrastinate on writing. Because of that, I tend to procrastinate on other things. But for the most part, I have one of those to-do lists where if I don't do the 6 items on it today, tomorrow is going to be a day in hell. So I just have to do the things. But again, I'm in this weird place, right, where this is my full-time gig. It's,
yeah.
I've created a career that can last me the rest of my life. And this is all I do. And at the core of all of these branches of the lore tree, the book series, the podcast, the TV show, writing's the sap that feeds all of them. And, that's the dream. I'm a career writer, but it also means that there's no end in sight. Like, this right. podcast doesn't take seasonal breaks like some shows do. Every 2 weeks I have to publish an episode, and it sounds like I'm required to, but it's just because I've made an agreement with my listeners that you get it every 2 weeks on Mondays. And I believe that as a podcaster, you should, if you want to make it your full-time job, you should treat it like your full-time job. So, I know people who, maybe we'll publish on Monday today, but next week we'll go on Wednesday, and it's not done yet, so maybe it's Friday next week. Like, that's bull. You made a commitment and you stick with it. So every other Monday within the same minute, I try to aim for, I got something to pump out. Which means I never really have that luxury of procrastination, right? I have to write, and I don't wait for inspiration or for the right mood. That's a difference between fiction and the nonfiction that I do. I just sit my butt down and I write words. And, I'll tell you a secret. The words that you write on your most inspiring day are 99% as good as the words that you'll write on the hard days. When you put them in a deck and shuffle them and ask somebody to tell you which one is a better quality writing, those days where you struggle for the words, they're just as good.
Yeah. I have heard that before. all right. How does Aaron Mankey unplug at the end of a long day?
Boy. Well, I'm done about 5:30 every day. And then I go have dinner with my family, which is one of the perks of working from home. And then I hang out with them until the kids go to bed. And then after that, this winter, it's been a lot of building a fire in the fireplace and drinking some scotch and just vegging,
Yeah. Love it. Do you watch your own show?
I have, but with 6 episodes, or, that's not enough to keep me busy.
No,
I'll play games and things like that. But, nice. For the most part. Yeah.
All right. I asked you a couple of creativity questions. How do you personally, define creativity?
Boy, I would say creativity it's the skill of building something unique from nothing. And I mean skill and not talent. I think you can learn to be creative. Because again, if you're waiting for inspiration, you're not always going to have it. But I'm a creative professional, if you want to call it that. I mean, every day I have to create something, whether I feel it or not. And I think you can learn to build something unique every day. And to me, that's creativity.
Yeah. What makes a writer great?
I have absolutely no idea. I really don't. I've heard a lot of, lessons from people. Read a lot so you'll write better. Figure out what your voice is. I think voice has probably been a big thing for me. Just learning what's the natural way I want to speak to people with my writing. And, it makes what I create unique to me.
Do you have a couple authors sitting on your nightstand table that you're digging right now, or?
Nobody I'm reading. Well, I'm doing the audiobook right now for Artemis by Andy Weir.
Oh, nice.
My stack usually has a Neil Gaiman book or a Stephen King or a Joe Hill, because those are my big three.
Nice. Yeah. Do you have a best love quote hanging over your desk like many, many, many authors?
I do not.
Okay. Couple fun ones before we wrap. If you could choose one author from any era for an all expense paid dinner to your favorite spot, favorite restaurant, who would you take and where would you take them?
Where I would take them, I'm not sure. I was thinking about this. Edgar Allan Poe would be cool, but I think he'd get too drunk too fast. he was a renowned alcoholic.
Yeah.
Lovecraft would probably show up high to the dinner. Because he was weird.
His writing
brilliant,
is crazy.
But weird. Yeah. I'm going to go with Stephen King. You know, he's down to earth. He's normal. He's local. So, you know, there's at least the chance of possibility. It'd just be able to sit at a table with a guy that's written 50 plus novels over the course of the last, 45 or 50 years. It's what an experience.
Yeah. I'm sure that would be intense. Do you collect any weird, writer's fetishes? Do you have, you must have some ancient tomes hanging around there that you reference from time to time. Do you collect any other, like first editions or old typewriters, any torture devices or?
No, I have a skull in my office. It's not real. It's a resin cast, but it looks really real. I buy way too many Blackwing pencils for any single person to use over the course of their life. And field notes, notebooks. Those are things that if a new edition's out, I it's amazing how quickly my wallet comes out and I buy it.
Yeah.
It's a problem. I'm okay.
Yeah.
And scotch. I'm a scotch guy, so I'm always looking for stuff.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever in Denver, I think we have a bar that has the largest selection of like single malts and probably in the country, but it's very weird. They have many of them hanging from the ceiling and then they just open a little sieve and get it into your shot glass.
Oh, nice. Yeah, very cool.
It's a pretty cool place. Do you have, before we wrap up here, any advice for your fellow scribes on just how to keep going, how to keep the ink flowing?
You know, this one I've learned really well over the last 3 years. And so I don't treat the page, whether it's written or, Microsoft Word or whatever, I don't treat it like a sacred document. Get messy on the page, right? So like if I'm writing along and I've written 300 or 400 words and all of a sudden I can't finish the phrase, I can feel it, but I can't finish the phrase, I'll just type a couple X's or whatever. We'll bring my eye back to it. I'll hit the carriage return a couple times and then I'll write the next sentence and keep going. And eventually while I'm in the middle of, birthing those new sentences, the other one will click. Then I'll go back and finish the sentence. Or maybe in the middle of writing, I'll know exactly how I want to close out a section. That line hits me like, that's the one I need to, that's the mic drop right there. Mm-hmm. I will just go down to that section and I'll add it in at the end. And so it's in there. So I'm not treating the page as the sacred thing where, I haven't gotten to chapter five. I can't add something to chapter five. No, you can do whatever the hell you want. Get down there and capture that moment of linguistic inspiration if you need to. Get it in there and then go back to where you were. So that's been the biggest thing for me, is just learning to keep the fingers moving and go, if there's going to be a hole, just leave it and then you can go back and patch the hole later.
Love it. Well, before we wrap up here, lore is an exploration of the dark real life historical tales at the root of our common fears and superstitions. Congrats on all the successes you've had. So I'll point at theworldoflore.com, of course, which has links to the books, the TV show on Amazon, as well as the podcast. I will point to the podcast directly, and your Amazon author page, which has links to all of your work there as well, including the book series as they roll out. Fantastic stuff. Anywhere else you want to point listeners? To
I
connect.
Think that's great. Yeah. I mean, I putz around too often on Twitter as AMAHNKE, just my first initial, my last name, all one word, Amanke.
Yeah.
And Laura's on on Twitter as well, Lore Podcast.
Oh, fantastic. Cool. Yeah, I noticed you were writing recently on Twitter about an animal that died in your office wall. I thought that that was something where the truth was stranger than fiction. Did that really happen?
Yeah. So I used to think it was an old New England home thing, but ours isn't one of those like really old with crumbling stone foundation houses. But, you know, something got in the walls. I mean, they always get in the walls. You know, this is what animals do. When it's cold out, they get inside for warmth and they build a nest and they make themselves cozy. But if it gets too cold outside, sometimes they die, or maybe they're just old or they're sick. So there's been something in the wall. My office is in Old Master on our first floor, and there's a bathroom connected to it. And I think it's in the wall, like an exterior wall of the bathroom.
Oh my.
And it smells horrible, horrible. Oh, it just, my wife gave me a tissue with some essential oil, like peppermint scented on it. And then I've brought in candles and I've opened windows, and it's just,
that's crazy.
It's a mess.
That's crazy.
But you know what? I'm still writing in it.
Okay. You're sure it's not a ghost?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. I'm pretty sure. I was talking to my buddy, Eric Kripke. He's the guy that created Supernatural, the TV show.
Yeah.
And I think he recommended that I salt the place. There might be a demon, but
man.
You know, I think it's just a dead mouse.
Okay. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for coming on to share your wisdom with us. We appreciate it and hope you come back another time.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us for this half of a tour of the writer's process. If you enjoy The Writer Files, please subscribe to the show and leave us a rating or a review on Apple Podcasts to help other writers find us. And for more episodes or just to leave a comment or a question, you can always drop by writerfiles.fm and chat with me on Twitter @KeltonReed. Cheers. Talk to you next week.